Welcome to Mission in the Mitten, where we share the story of how God's mission is unfolding across the state of Michigan. These are stories of the church rightly being the church and serving in Jesus' name.
Welcome to another episode of Mission in the Mitten. Today's episode is going to feature an upcoming event in the district. The Best Practices for Ministry Heartland Edition is happening on August 10th through the 12th in Frankenmuth. Registration for this event closes on June 30th, so it is our hope that after this episode, you'll head over to their website. Today, I'm joined by Pastor Joel Kaiser. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to be here with you. Yes, I'm one of the pastors at St. Lawrence, and we have the privilege of hosting this year's Best Practices for Ministry Heartland Edition. We'll be hosting it this year and then also next year. So we have 2 years to work with this, but we're very excited about it. As you said, it's coming in August. And a little bit different timing this year. We had been doing it more in the fall once school started, but that made things so crazy with the school and our building, so that we're doing it in August this year and very eager to see how it works for other people's schedules to be able to attend.
So in starting this interview, what are you hoping that the listeners learn from this episode?
Well, first of all, that there is such a thing called Best Practices for Ministry Heartland, and that it's available to them for any church worker. That means professional or volunteer. So this would apply to anyone who works in the church, whether it's as a volunteer Sunday school teacher, youth ministry person, whether it's they work in the church office or whether they are a DCE, a pastor, a teacher. A big thing to know about this conference is that it's absolutely free, F-R-E-E, free. So I know that catches a lot of people's attention when it comes to church budgets. All people are responsible for is their transportation, and should they want to stay in town, they obviously are responsible for their own lodging, but otherwise there is no registration fee, because that's part of the best practices model for conferences.
That's awesome. I feel like starting out with this kind of giant question that I have about hosting the conference. What is it like for your congregation to host this conference?
I think we're excited about that. I think we are in the process still of recruiting all the volunteers that we are going to need. It's like a lot of things where the more that we advertise and the more that we get closer to the event, the excitement, I think, builds. And so our own folks are going to be able to have access. If nothing else, they may join us for the worship service, even if they're not attending as participants. But we've got two worship services that are scheduled. One is for Sunday evening. That's kind of our opening worship service. And that's where we kick things off at 6 p.m. in our church sanctuary. And I'm getting it confused myself. The first worship service is in our worship center, and that's at 850 West Genesee. And then our closing worship service Tuesday at noon is in our sanctuary. So we're going to have the opportunity to worship in two different settings, two different styles, and just wanted to make that clear. So our congregation is happy to host, and we're looking forward to being able to be good hosts for this conference.
Awesome. So would you say that it puts any sort of strain on your congregation or facilities to host like this? You said a little bit about when it was in the fall that it was kind of a strain.
Well, in the fall, we had to have school off so that we could make use of the whole building. Mm. And that just was some more days off of school and complicated the school schedule. So that's why we're doing it in August this year before school begins. As far as the strain, we've got such great people here that and such a wide variety of a pool of resources that I think anybody who's involved with it looks at it as an opportunity, as a privilege to be involved with hosting. We're blessed with the resources that we have. Our worship center, that's where the bulk of the conference will take place, the keynote speakers, and then the big expansive school that we have with all the different classrooms and so forth. We've got enough space for breakouts. So again, it's at the right time of year and should be able to go off without any hitches.
That's awesome. It is a complete blessing to have the facilities and the people to allow something like this to happen. But let's move on to kind of the actual conference itself and kind of why you should go. Church workers, as you are yourself, are extremely busy. Why should they take time out of their contextual ministry to attend a conference like this?
Great question. Our goal and our theme is encouragement in our callings. So the whole goal of our best practices conference this year is so that everyone who attends would find some encouragement. And I think we all can use more encouragement, especially because of, like you said, the strains and the stresses of ministry, whether it's professional or volunteer. It's nice to be recognized. It's nice to be treated with care. And that's what we hope to do here at the Best Practices. We hope to provide an atmosphere where people are encouraged. Our keynotes are geared toward that. Our breakout sessions are going to be helpful ministry, very practical best practices type of events so that people might be able to learn and take back to their own congregation something very practical. And then there's going to be time for fellowship with other church workers, with others who do the same kind of thing that a person does. And again, in an atmosphere where you're taken care of, it's free. And did I mention that it's free? And we'll have food provided, snacks provided. We've got a banquet planned for Monday night, worship services, keynotes. So again, it's something that a church worker should be able to come and just be able to relax with no stress and just be encouraged and know that they're in the right calling, that God is using them in his kingdom.
Is there any wisdom in leaving your congregation to go to a conference like this?
I think that best practices would say that the one who does the ministering at times needs to be ministered to, and that we need to be filled and fed, especially when we're the ones who are doing the filling and the feeding for people in our own context. So the wisdom of many, many who have gone before us in the profession of church work recognize that we need time for ourselves. And summer is a great time to be refreshed, hopefully with family and loved ones and vacations. Well, this hopefully will be viewed as kind of a ministry vacation, time for personal refreshment, relaxation, and personal growth so that a person can be fed and be strengthened for the calling, that they can approach their task with a new type of vigor and hopefully some very practical ideas.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that in that way because, our theme in the district this year is based on 1 Kings 19, where Elijah is basically ministered to by God. He's a minister himself of God, and he is ministered to by God. And so it's kind of that practice again that I see that I'm kind of tapping into with best practices for ministry in the Heartland, that it's kind of one of those spaces to reinvigorate yourself for the ministry, to be reminded that you are not alone, just like our theme for this year, and that there is people you are surrounded with that you can tap in as resources. Like we began this conversation with about the strain on the church for to host an event like this. I feel like oftentimes church workers can feel like their communities are tapped out, if that makes sense. If we did this, who would we get to do it? Or, we do more with our children's ministry, I'm going to have to be the one to do all the work. And I feel like conferences like this kind of show you, oh, there are people within our synod, within our region that we can tap into to help us through these times in ministry.
Well, like you had said, the district's theme for the convention and for the year, you are not alone. Elijah thinking that he was all by himself, that he was the only one left. And yet God said, no, Elijah, that's not accurate. There are thousands that still have not bowed the knee to Baal, and that you are not alone in this. I think coming to a conference like this encourages someone just to see there's hundreds of other people that are in the same type of context, doing ministry, perhaps frustrated with certain things, but to find out that others maybe have shared those frustrations, but maybe there are some best practices out there that can help so that ministry can also find the joys and the, quote, successes that, you know, we long for in doing what we do.
Yeah, I feel like the regional focus of this specific conference kind of changes that into being more so like it's immediately surrounding you. It's not just all over the country spread out. It's who do we have immediately surrounding us in this region?
And that's one of the reasons that Best Practices Heartland got started. Some people may be familiar with the fact that there has been a Best Practices for Ministry that started, I don't know if it's been 20 years, I'm not sure how long, but Jeff Schrank out in Arizona and Phoenix area, he was the one who got this concept started of best practices, having a free conference for church workers. And yet people from the Midwest, you know, it's a bit, although the conference was free, you know, transportation and lodging that can cost, obviously. And so it was started in Heartland back in 2015, where some of the churches from southern Indiana and central Indiana, Carmel Lutheran and St. Peter Columbus and so forth, had said, why don't we host a similar conference in this area? And then several years ago at St. Lawrence, we decided that we would take our turn in hosting it. And so we did for 2 years, and now it's coming back to us this year. It was most recently at Carmel Cornerstone Lutheran Church in Indiana, and now it's here for 2 years. And then it'll probably go back to one of the churches in Indiana. And there's other churches that are looking into the possibility of hosting as well. So it's specifically for those that are in the Midwest region, not just the state of Michigan. We're going to have folks that are coming from Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, Wisconsin, you know, more of a driving distance type thing so that you can save and not have to worry about airfare and those types of things. But we'd welcome anyone from wherever they want to come from.
One of the things that I keep thinking about is that when these conferences are hosted by these large churches, as your own is, smaller churches kind of feel like, oh, well, this conference isn't going to speak to my needs because it's being hosted at this giant church. And especially if it's hosted at a giant church that is regionally far away, it can feel like this isn't for me. How might this conference speak uniquely to the needs of smaller churches?
Well, that's a great question. First of all, the keynotes that are going to be presented, we've got four separate keynotes, three different speakers. They're going to be speaking to the concept of encouraging each person in their calling, no matter what their context is. And so we feel very good about the quality of our speakers and that they're going to connect. And wherever a person is, whatever context they're in, that they will benefit from hearing our keynote speakers. Then, of course, the breakouts. We've got at this point probably over 65 different topics that are going to be, and they're hosted by brothers and sisters that are not necessarily trained speakers or with professional credentials, that as many as we do have that have those, we also have just fellow teachers, fellow pastors, fellow church workers that are have said, sure, I will give a breakout session on something that I have found helpful in my ministry and that maybe somebody else can learn from. And so there's going to be presenters that are from different contexts, including, as you mentioned, smaller churches, mid-sized congregations, large churches, and they're going to be speaking to, again, a context that should find something for everyone.
Are there any sessions that you can think of from this year's conference that you would think would be really beneficial for either small churches or rural communities?
That's going to be something that as we put the information out there, we're going to kind of share the whole list of topics. All 65 plus topics are going to be shared with a little description as we get closer to that conference time. And so we've got folks like Dr. Dave Meyer, who's going to be leading a session, Dr. Jeff Kloa, Gerard Bowling. We also have our district president, Pastor Dave Davis, who's going to be leading a thing on leadership pathways. And again, encouragement and leadership are some of the focuses. And whether or not somebody's in a large church, a small church, to raise up leaders, to foster good leadership skills, these are something that I think everybody can benefit from.
What specific part of this conference ignites your fire for ministry? Has there been a speaker, breakup session, worship moment, or even a side conversation that sparked something new in you that only would have happened at this conference?
Well, having attended both the Phoenix conference and some of the Heartland conferences, I think in addition to the speakers and the breakouts, I think it's the fellowship. I think it's the networking. I think it's the camaraderie. Of being treated special. And that's our hope, that everybody who comes feels like they're treated special, whether that's because of the food that's provided, the snacks during break time, the fact that nobody's going to be watching over somebody's shoulder to make sure that they're attending every breakout, that if they get involved with a conversation with somebody and it runs into the breakout time, that, you know, that's okay. That maybe the conversation they're having with a brother or sister in ministry is going to be what they need at that time. And they're going to be encouraged to have those kind of conversations. So I think that's what really sparks when I've attended a best practices, just the fact that somebody else is caring for you and caring for your needs, and that you can, you know, explore the different variety of things that are out there, but especially the networking that takes place in the fellowship.
Yeah. Has there been one practical change or innovation that you've brought back to your church from these conferences that you can see and measure the success of, I guess, is how I'd put that?
That's a great question. When I've attended, I know that having attended the breakouts and the keynotes and so forth, I think the overall thing that I've brought back is just being refreshed as a church worker, so that I have more of the energy and the ability to engage people in the work that I do. I have a feeling that the vast majority of folks are going to experience that type of energy and refreshment. And I think that's going to be one of the underlying things that everybody who attends is going to take back to their own context of ministry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like when I have attended different conferences in the past that have been more focused on, I don't know, just more focused on either the business of the being at the conference or specifically learning from the speakers, that I often find myself thinking that I want to talk with people about what I'm learning or about what is going on. And it sounds like this conference kind of super encourages that if you find someone who it was just as inspired by you from the last breakout speaker or from the keynote, that you can find someone to talk to and kind of mull over those ideas. Would you say that that is kind of how this conference helps you translate that inspiration and renewal into action?
I think so. I think, again, recognizing that as much as there are credentialed speakers that are doing the breakouts, sometimes those folks can, again, seem like they've got it so much together that they're almost untouchable, unapproachable. Hopefully the context of this conference helps people realize that, you know, they're in their ministry and they have struggles and successes just like everybody else. And that the vast majority of the breakout speakers are going to be just, again, like I said, brothers and sisters in the ministry who have found that a particular strategy, a particular technique, or some approach to ministry has worked for them. And you're right, that would give you the opportunity to follow up with any of these breakout speakers afterwards. Our conference allows for that. We've got some pretty generous break times. And we hope that, you know, the setting encourages people to have those conversations.
Yeah. What would you say to someone who's never been to Best Practices Heartland or the Phoenix version, or has maybe only been to the Phoenix version? What would you say to them as encouragement to attend?
Well, if they've been to Phoenix but never to a Heartland, just be aware that we don't host 2,300 people or whatever they do out there in Phoenix. I mean, that's an amazing logistical, quite an event that they put on there. We are hoping that ours will be between 300 and 400. That's what we're shooting for. And so it's a much smaller, you're going to have, I think, exposure to have a chance to see folks that otherwise you might not in a huge context like that. I would say, again, the breakouts are going to be on average then that much smaller and more personal. Leader to participant ratio is going to be a lot smaller. And so I think that's going to allow for opportunities for conversation and back and forth. We hope to have a similar type atmosphere. Again, if you've been out to Phoenix, it's really like a big, I don't know if you'd call it a big fiesta. There's just, they always have something going on. And we hope to have stuff like that so that people can, again, just enjoy and have a good time. We're looking forward especially to the banquet that we have. Again, if somebody's going to register as a participant, as you mentioned, the registration is still open through June 30th. It's completely free, and the banquet is free as well. We do need you to register specifically for the banquet because that's where numbers are important for us. But it's going to be a German themed, as you might guess, here in Frankenmuth. We're going to be at the Bavarian Inn and have our good Frankenmuth Fair, but just the atmosphere, just a time to relax and enjoy. We're going to, you know, there's going to be a couple of fellowship opportunities as well that are going to happen both Sunday night following the worship service out in what we call our church grove. And also Monday night before the banquet, there's going to be a reception hour that's hosted by PLI. And that's going to be at the Zender's restaurant. And so if someone's interested in having an adult beverage or so, these fellowship times are going to be the place to come. And again, we look forward to just being able to celebrate and celebrate ministry, really, and celebrate each other and encourage one another.
Yeah, it sounds like because of the smaller scale, some of those smaller churches or mid-sized churches might get a chance to kind of workshop some ideas for their specific contexts in those breakout sessions. So that's kind of a cool benefit of going to a smaller version of best practices, is that idea of being able to kind of individualize specifically plans, or bounce ideas off of these great, brilliant speakers.
There are going to be the opportunities for churches to send a group. For example, I'm familiar with one church and school that I think is using it as a team building exercise. So they have encouraged all their teachers, for example, to attend. And so they're going to have an opportunity to not just experience the breakouts, but they're going to have opportunity to gather together as a team and, you know, explore and grow in relationships as well as in ideas for ministry. And so I thought that was a cool idea that church can bring a group of people and kind of see it as a team building exercise.
Yeah, because it is closer to home for, especially in the Michigan district, you're able to all attend. Whereas with the Phoenix version, you may only send one or two people a year. But because it's close to home and free, and as the Phoenix version is also free in that same regard, you might be more willing to send your entire team. That's awesome.
Absolutely. And housing is available, obviously, in Frankenmuth, but some of the folks are going to be relatively local. And so they're going to not require housing at all. And so as far as an inexpensive conference, this has to be up there amongst one of the most inexpensive that you can find.
Yeah.
And that's the blessing. We have generous supporters that underwrite this. Our St. Lawrence Foundation helps to underwrite some of the costs. We've got, as I mentioned, sponsors. CEF is one of the sponsors, PLI, and local businesses and other volunteers. So again, you're looking at relatively little investment for a big payout.
Yeah. Well, listeners, there you have it. As a reminder, all resources discussed in today's episode can be found in the show notes. To register for the conference, you'll find that link in our show notes as well. Let us be thankful for the inspiration this conference gives us for living out God's mission here in the Mitten. Thank you, Pastor Joel, and I hope to be able to speak to you again on this podcast.
Absolutely. As you mentioned, you can go to the links that are provided through this podcast. Somebody could just go to stlawrence.org and find the BPM H links, and registration is going to be there. One shout out I should put, that although technically we've said the registration for somebody who wants to lead a breakout has closed, we still have a limited opportunity. If somebody out there hasn't registered with an idea for a breakout and they would like to do that, they're welcome to still be in touch with us and see if it's not too late. We'd love to entertain even more breakout sessions. So we're kind of extending the deadline on that particular aspect of our conference. So just get in touch and we will be in touch with you. We'll be making use of an app when we get closer to the conference, and anybody who is registered with the conference is going to get an email from what is called the Yap app. That's kind of a catchy term, the Yap app, and people will be able to get connected with that and find out all the information they want to know about the different breakouts, the keynotes, and so forth.
Awesome. Is there anything else you would like to add that we didn't cover or that you didn't just speak of?
Well, it starts, like I said, on Sunday afternoon. There's some registration, but the opening worship is at 6 p.m. in our Worship and Event Center, which is located at 850 West Genesee. And all day Monday is conference and breakouts and plenary keynote speakers. We've got the banquet Monday night. Tuesday is more plenary and breakouts. And then the closing service at our sanctuary is at noon. And then we even provide a box lunch that if people need to get going right away after the worship service on Tuesday, they just grab their lunch and go. Or if they want to stay around and eat it here, they've got that opportunity to do so.
Well, thank you for joining us on the podcast today.
This podcast is a production of the Michigan District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. To learn more about our ministry and to stay connected, visit our website at michigandistrict.org or follow us on social media at MIDistrictLCMS. Thank you for listening.